Hello, and welcome to Merkwood Design's Adventures in Creativity. I'm your host, Ruth Ann Logsdon-Zaroff, and this is podcast number 2. This series also has an accompanying website with show notes, links, patterns, and projects. Just head over to merkwooddesigns.com, that's M-I-R-K-W-O-O-D, designs.com, and you'll find all of the show notes and patterns and free projects you can download. First of all, I need to thank everyone who emailed or commented on my podcast last week, and it was just so exciting to hear from everyone. People who I respect who have podcasts of their own, friends, family, so many people sent me nice notes. They're in no particular order. I'd like to thank Jackie, Marcelli, Brylin, Allison, Patricia, Jean, Debbie, Tammy, Jane, Diane, Kelly, Nadine, Bonnie, Cindy, Barbara, Donna, Melissa, and Michelle from Down Under. Thanks again, everyone, for such nice feedback. And if you have any comments, suggestions, criticisms, just let me know. I don't have particularly thick skin, but I think I can take a little bit of criticism. During the past couple of weeks, I'll share with you a couple of things that I've been involved in. My church recently started a new prayer shawl ministry, and this is new to me, although I guess the concept's been around for some time. A prayer shawl ministry is a group of people who generally knit or crochet, but also people who quilt have been invited to join. We get together and we make generally shawls, but you can make lap quilts or other things like that, that we present to people who are in need. And this can be people who not only have sorrow in their lives, but also joyful moments, for example, weddings or births. The prayer shawls are then blessed by our pastor, and then a group presents the shawl to the needy person or the family. And our group meets about once a month, so I'll probably be sharing more information as time goes on. I'm hoping that God gives us a lot of inspiration in this. It's a little ragtag at the moment, but I have faith that we'll come together and create some really beautiful prayer shawls. Another one of my recent projects, I was commissioned to create an icon quilt of Christ Pantocrator, which in Greek means Christ Almighty. And it's based on a Byzantine icon that is still in existence. It is in the St. Catherine's Monastery in the Sinai Desert. It's one of the oldest known images of icons of Christ. The quilt that I made is about 9 inches by 18 inches. There's a photograph on the website, by the way. The way I make these quilts is I print a very high quality picture on a piece of fabric. I have an Epson wide carriage printer, and in my opinion, Epson inks are the best for printing on fabric. So I print a very high quality picture on a piece of prepared fabric that I've prepared myself. I don't use the printed treasures, which I think is probably the best commercially available ready to print fabric out there. I actually use the Bubble Jet Set 2000, and I prepare my fabric and iron it onto freezer paper. I'll give all the instructions for that particular technique in an upcoming podcast. But at any rate, I print the picture on fabric, and then I back it with batting. And before I put the backing on, I do a lot of free motion quilting using variegated threads. I like rayon and silk in particular. I also use metallic threads in certain areas. And then I put the backing on. And with the backing, I use a light colored backing. With the backing on, I free motion quilt around the major parts of the picture. For example, the halo, the hair, the eyes, and so forth. So that when you look at the back of the quilt, you can see the outline, in this particular case, the outline of Jesus. And it's really quite an interesting effect. So on the front, you have the actual colored icon with all of the very, very quilted areas with the variegated threads and so forth. But on the back, you have just the outline. It's very beautiful. You'll see a picture of the front of the quilt. Unfortunately, I've already delivered it. I delivered it this afternoon, so therefore I forgot to take a picture of the back. I promise I'll take a picture of another one before I deliver it so you can see what the back looks like when I present the podcast using this particular technique. I use a very pretty metallic fabric for the binding. It came out very well. I'm very pleased with it. Also, last podcast, I mentioned that I would be offering a continuing set of Alice in Wonderland red work patterns. This particular week, you have the White Rabbit as Harold. It's one of my more favorite Alice in Wonderland pictures. And I also want to mention that, I'm not sure if you're aware, Tim Burton, who is one of my favorite directors, is producing right now in production Johnny Depp in Alice in Wonderland. It will be released in March of 2010. And I've seen photographs of some of the characters. I'm so excited. It's going to be just a fantastic marriage of director, actors, and of course, Lewis Carroll's fabulous Alice in Wonderland books. I'm so excited. And you know, I mentioned last time around that I'm a large Alice in Wonderland fan. I've been a fan of her books ever since I could read. The very first book I read when I was little was Alice in Wonderland. And my family constantly gives me gifts based on Alice in Wonderland. My wonderful sister-in-law, Michelle, who is just an amazing quilter, used my icon technique to quilt for my birthday last June a picture of Johnny Depp as the Mad Hatter. And a picture of her quilt is on my website. I hope you take a moment to take a look at that. It's kind of a little creepy. And you know what? The original pictures that John Tenniel did for Alice in Wonderland, those are pretty darn creepy too. And I love this quilt. I cried when I received it. It was just made me so happy to think that she loved me so much to do this, my technique, using an Alice in Wonderland picture. Not only that, but Johnny Depp as the Mad Hatter. It's just fantastic. So I hope you take a look at that. Well, stay tuned for the fiber arts segment. Today's topic is the Tree of Life quilt block, and I'll provide instructions for a beautiful wall hanging. Stay tuned. Welcome back. I'm Ruth Ann Logsdon-Zaroff, and you're listening to Mirkwood Designs Adventures in Creativity. In today's Fiber Arts segment, we're going to talk about the traditional quilt-patterned Tree of Life. You know, in doing research for this particular segment, I've always loved the Tree of Life quilt block, and in my mind, it was always a pieced block made of a lot of half-square triangles, and that's actually what I'll be sharing with you today. But I also found out that there is a long history of appliqué Tree of Life blocks, broderie purse, and also white work or whole cloth or trapunto Tree of Life blocks. But as I said, the one I'm going to concentrate on today is the pieced block. And I noticed that predominantly the Tree of Life block seems to have been very popular starting in about the mid-1800s. I saw some references to earlier versions, but the pieced block seems to have appeared around the mid-1800s. The Tree of Life has a long history in different mythological cultures, different religions. In the Judeo-Christian tradition, the book of Genesis mentions the Tree of Life. It was planted by God in the middle of the Garden of Eden, whose fruit gives everlasting life. And God also planted the Tree of Knowledge of Good and Evil. And after eating from the Tree of Knowledge of Good and Evil, in the biblical account, Adam and Eve were exiled from the Garden of Eden, and that was to prevent them from eating from the Tree of Life. So the Tree of Life was the blessing that God gave everyone to have eternal life. So if you look at the picture of the wall hanging, which is on my website, mirkwooddesigns.com, you'll see that my block is normally it's on a diagonal, but I really sort of like to have everything on point. So I added four triangles to the corners, and I also added borders to make a wall hanging. And I also wanted to share with you my technique for making half square triangles. It's really not a secret. I don't do very well in math. That was my least favorite subject. I'm least able to do that particular thing. So I use Thangles. I have the link to the Thangles website on my website, and you can find Thangles in every size in every quilt store that I've been to, and that's Thangles. And they are the biggest, greatest thing since sliced bread if you are making a lot of half square triangles. They are a brilliant technique for making perfect half square triangles. So I want to recommend that you run out and get yourself some Thangles to make my Tree of Life quilt. Now, if you don't really feel like doing that, you can of course use whatever technique you would like to make the block itself. You don't necessarily need to make my wall hanging, but it's very cute, and it finishes around 18 inches square. And in the very center is the traditional Tree of Life block that I've sort of modified So it's on point, and I have changed it from some of the ones that I found online. I really think this is a very pleasing design. And also, it lends itself to some really cute quilting. In each of the corner triangles, there was this white space of my background fabric, and I thought, what could I put there? And I thought, well, a tree, a leaf. And one of my favorite leaves is the shape of the oak leaf. So I drafted an oak leaf to fit in that triangle, and in my pattern that you can download, I actually provided the full-size oak leaf quilting motif. And what I did was I printed that out, and I did a mirror image. So if you print it out twice, you'll end up with the four corners that you can actually cut out to fit in the four corners of your quilt block. And you can quilt, pin it to your fabric, and you can actually quilt the actual shape of the oak leaf. So you'll end up with a little quilted oak leaf in each of your four corners. If you go to my blog, mirkwooddesigns.com, you can find my notes for this podcast, and you'll also find the link to the projects page and the downloadable pattern for my Tree of Life quilt hanging. I hope you enjoy it. Stay tuned for the paper art segment. Today's topic is making a unique note card for the quilt lover in your life based on my Tree of Life quilt block. Welcome back to Mirkwood Designs Adventures in Creativity. I'm Ruth Ann Logsdon-Zaroff. In today's paper crafting segment, I'm going to tell you how to make a really unique note card based on my Tree of Life quilt block. You can find complete instructions on the website, mirkwooddesigns.com. You know, I thought a lot about how I could tie my Tree of Life theme to my paper art segment. I even contacted some friends who are really into scrapbooking and who are into paper crafts themselves, and I ended up thinking, well, why not make a note card based on my Tree of Life quilt block? Now, the Tree of Life card is slightly modified. It's not square like the quilt block, but it's rectangular, so it fits a standard A2 card. In the United States, an A2 card is the size you get when you fold a standard piece of letter paper into quarters. Therefore, it's 5.5 inches by 4.25 inches. And in the case of my card, I cut a piece of letter-sized cardstock in half and folded that in half, and then I used that as the base for my little quilt block. I also added a couple of layers of decorative paper, but that's entirely up to you. This is your card, so you can kind of design it the way that you like. I really find that layering papers often enhances the finished card, and you know, in this case, it sort of makes it look like the borders of a quilt. You can see a picture of my finished card on my website. You know, cutting the tiny triangles and squares might seem daunting or fussy, but if you cut strips of the proper width of your paper, and then you cut the squares and then cut the squares into triangles, you'll find it's very easy. And actually, it's really like cutting pieces for a quilt. You know, the way that you cut out your strips and then you subcut squares and then subcut triangles. And because the pieces for the card are tiny, you might find it easier to manipulate them with tweezers. And I also found that applying glue with a brush made the process a lot easier. Anyway, when you begin to assemble your card, you'll find it easiest to use a pencil to lightly mark a cross in the very center of the card, and that way you'll be able to place your first piece right in the center, and you'll work out from the center with your triangles. And once you have a few pieces placed, the rest are going to be a lot easier to put down. And remember, it doesn't have to be absolutely perfect. This isn't some precise engineering project. It's just a small piece of handicraft, sort of a little piece of yourself. Remember, you'll find the complete instructions for the Tree of Life note card on my site. And remember last time I showed you how to make a standard envelope? If you follow those instructions from my last podcast or you go on the website to the projects page, your envelope template is the exact size for this note card. Up next, this week was a baking bonanza at my house, and one of the things I made was my mom's recipe for raisin-filled cookies. They're yummy. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Mirkwood Designs Adventures in Creativity. I'm Ruth Ann Logsdon-Zaroff, and this is the recipe segment. Well, today's theme is Tree of Life, and since it's apple season here in Michigan, I was originally going to share an apple recipe with you. Well, my plans changed, and instead, I'm going to share my mom's recipe for raisin-filled cookies, which are a favorite at my house. You know, my son Teddy is off at the University of Michigan College of Engineering, where he lives in a fraternity, and this year I sent a cookie jar with him, and I promised that I would keep the cookie jar full of cookies for him. So every week I've been baking a different kind of cookie. And his request recently was that he wanted raisin-filled cookies. So this past week, I made a double batch. I had to leave some here for my husband and, of course, a couple for myself. And since I was baking them, I thought, why not share this recipe with you this time around? And next time I'll share my apple recipe I had originally planned. So I'm sorry that the Tree of Life theme kind of falls flat during the recipe segment this week, but that's the way it goes. I remember my mom making these cookies. They seemed so simple. And when I had a particular boyfriend I really wanted to impress back when I was in high school, I made these cookies for him. I'll tell you, he probably doesn't remember me, but I'll bet he remembers these cookies. My sister Pat last year, when I went to visit her, had made a big batch of the raisin cookies, but for whatever reason, she decided she wanted to keep them all for herself. However, I found them in her little blue container in her cupboard, so I made her share with me. And when she found out I was offering this recipe this week to you, she made me promise that I would save some for her. And since I'm seeing her Sunday, maybe I'll take her some too. So if you go to the website, mirkwooddesigns.com, you'll see a photo of my cookies, and you'll also be able to download the recipe if you are interested in making them. You know, I have to apologize to any vegetarians out there. The recipe does call for lard. Now, if you don't want to use lard in the recipe, you can use Crisco. They won't be quite as tender and flaky, but Crisco will do in a pinch. Or you could also use butter, although I don't think the texture is quite right if you use butter. I really think that lard has kind of gotten a bad rap over the years, and it's a really sad thing because it's just the most wondrous ingredient. I use it for all of my pastry making, for my pie crusts, and I get compliments all the time. Years ago, I used to get a particular cracker called Bremner wafers. They come in a green tin, and they were originally just fabulously flaky and tender, and I loved them. And I started buying them, and I thought, well, something was wrong with them all of a sudden. I couldn't figure out what the difference was until I compared the ingredients on the tins. Originally, they were made using lard. And then when lard started getting such a bad rap, and I think undeservedly so, they phased out the lard and they started using a vegetable shortening like Crisco to make them. And the texture is just simply not the same. As a matter of fact, if you're a real stickler for, you know, pure French pastry type crust, you might want to try using a product called leaf lard. Unfortunately, in this country, it's almost impossible to find in a store. But I buy mine from a place called Flying Pigs Farm, which is online. They're located in New York State. And I have the link on my website, and it's flyingpigsfarm.com. The leaf lard is the fat from around the kidneys, and it's considered the finest lard for pastry. Unfortunately, you have to render it before you use it, so it takes a little bit of extra work. But believe me, the trouble is worth it. You'll find the recipe for my raisin-filled cookies, along with all of the show notes, on my website, mirkwooddesigns.com. Up next is the grab bag, where I tie my Tree of Life theme together. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Mirkwood Designs Adventures in Creativity. I'm Ruth Ann Logsdon-Zaroff, and this is the Grab Bag. You know, I realized after my last podcast that some of you might not know what the term grab bag means, so it is defined as an assortment of miscellaneous items. And that's exactly the way I plan to have this segment. It can be anything, as I mentioned last time around. It can be a poem, or last time I used a quote, or this particular time it's going to be a song. I grew up in the 1960s and the 1970s. I was the youngest in a large family. All of my older sisters were really influenced by the resurrection of folk music at that time. The Kingston Trio, the New Christy Minstrels, Peter, Paul, and Mary. And because folk music was so influential on my sisters, and my sisters were influential on me, I also really loved folk music. So much so that even though I had been studying classical piano for 3 years, by the time I was 11, my oldest brother Jack began teaching me how to play guitar, and all I wanted to do was play folk music. I just loved the music of Joan Baez, of Judy Collins, Peter Paul and Mary. Because of the years of classical piano training, I picked up guitar really quickly and developed my own style, which is called fingerstyle guitar now. It's a very popular style of guitar. And by the time I was in high school, I was playing at local coffee houses. And in college, I started playing, I played bass with a band. We toured with the USO in Europe. And then after college, when my husband and I got married, I decided to pursue music full time. And I played around in the Detroit area. And I also toured in Japan for a while. You know, and even though I learned so many different styles of singing and playing guitar, from jazz to classical to rock, I always kept coming back to my love of folk music. And that's why most of my bumper music that you're going to hear me playing in this show are, they're old folk music songs. The one I'm using today is called Whaley Whaley, or it's also known as The Water is Wide. It's an old child ballad. Child ballads were a series of ballads that were, quote, collected by Sir Francis Child, who went and gathered all of the old English and Scottish ballads, and he codified them and gave them numbers. So Whaley Whaley is child ballad number 204. When I first started planning on doing a podcast some months ago, I kind of overanalyze and overplan everything, it seems, in my life. But I knew in the back of my mind that one song I definitely wanted to be able to share with you was the song Tree of Life. The reason being is that it combines two of my favorite things, which is folk music and quilting. The song is one of those songs that lists things. And in the first two verses, it's a list of names of quilt blocks. It's so beautiful in its simplicity. And I'll share with you a little secret. Don't tell him I told you, but it is the one song that actually makes my husband cry. I first learned this song in the early 1990s from the singing of Sally Rogers and Michigan folk singer Claudia Schmidt. And it's from their album While We Live, which is available for download on iTunes, by the way. It's a really wonderful album, but this song stands out above all of the others. The song Tree of Life was written by Eric Peltonimi, who, by the way, is the president of Red House Records. And it is copyright by Eric Peltonimi Music, ASCAP, which stands for American Society of Composers, Authors, and Publishers. And I thank Eric so much for being so gracious and so kind, allowing me to share this beautiful song with you, a song that I think every quilter should hear. Without further ado, here is Tree of Life.
Beggar's blocks and blind man's fancy, Boston corners and beacon lights, broken stars and buckeye blossoms blooming on the tree of life. Tree of life, quilted by the lantern light, every stitch a leaf upon the tree of life. Stitch away, sister, stitch away. Hattie's choice and high hosanna, hills and valleys and heart's delight, hummingbirds and honeysuckle blooming on the tree of life. Tree of life, quilted by the lantern light, every stitch a leaf upon the tree of life. Stitch away, sister, stitch away. We're only known as someone's mother, someone's daughter, or someone's wife. But with our hands and with our vision, we make the patterns of the tree of life. Tree of life, quilted by the lantern light, every stitch a leaf upon the tree of life. Stitch away, sister, stitch away. Stitch away, sister, stitch away. Stitch away, sister.
I hope you enjoyed my version of Tree of Life. You know, every time I listen to that third verse, I just think, what a tribute to women that is. We're the givers of life. We're the ones who are sentimental and who pass traditions on from one generation to the next. And this, in my opinion, is authentic feminism. Thanks again to Eric for allowing me to record his beautiful song to share with you. I want to sincerely thank you for listening today, and I hope you continue to listen to my podcast. Please email me or post comments on iTunes or on my blog to let me know what you like and what you don't like. I'm still new at this, and I want to provide something to you that's unique and useful. You can find links to my podcasts, show notes, projects, and much more on my website, mirkwooddesigns.com. That's MIRKWOODDESIGNS.com. While there, why not make a comment or drop me a line and tell me what's on your mind? My email is ruthann@mirkwooddesigns.com. Ruthann is one word, spelled R-U-T-H-A-N-N. I hope to hear from you. Until next time, this is Ruthann Logsdon-Zeroff with Mirkwood Designs, Adventures in Creativity. And remember, creativity isn't a race. It's an adventure.